Thank you, Marilyn. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I mentioned to Al that just before we opened, rather than preaching to the choir, you might have some questions you'd like to discuss instead of listening to what you already know, and I know you know because you're here. And does anyone have a question that they'd like to ask? Well, then I guess we'll preach the part. There have been a great many things here the last month or so, weeks, days, and they're still continuing today throughout the world that impresses upon us again and again and keeps us aware of the fact that we are in the last days. And we have seen a great deal of the turmoil, the hardship, the storms, both political and astronomical. The weather is different than any we've experienced, not only here in the United States or here in the Midwest, but it's occurring throughout the world, which is in harmony with the scriptures concerning this, the last days. And I happened to notice, I don't have much time, it seems like, anymore to read the papers, and I've cut them all off, except the Examiner still keeps sending them to me, so when I have a chance, I do open the page. And Thursday, when I opened it, I noticed the advertisement on the second page. And it, rather bold letters that I couldn't hardly miss, and it reads, "The Community of Christ Conflicts with the Restoration Branches." And I'm not going to read it, but those of you who take the Examiner probably have already read it. But it is a complaint of the Restoration Branches that they have been cut off from meeting in the churches they built, churches they supported for many years. Their doctrine has been changed, not only from the Restoration, which was branches, which was still not in compliance with the original tenets of the church, was established on April the 6th, 1830. But they, without the consent of the body, changed their name to the Community of Christ, and still they won't allow them to use the Reorganized Church of Jesus Christ logo among the Restoration Branches. And it reminded me very much of the scriptures we find, I believe it's in Alma, where the poor and those that were in poverty, and all were also barred from the synagogues of that day. And they complained to Alma, and he gave them quite a discourse concerning the fact that their complaints were not really that great, because they could still worship God, whether it was in their synagogues or whether it wasn't. And we see this in many places throughout the country, especially here in the United States. And it brought to mind the Article 6 of our Articles of Faith and Practice. And this is how it reads. We believe in the literal second coming and millennial reign of Jesus Christ, in the resurrection of the dead, and an eternal judgment that man will be rewarded or punished according to the good or evil they may have done. And then it gives a number of references. And I'm sure that each of you, at least of the older and probably the Sunday school classes, have studied this document also. And I know that baptismal classes have studied it, and so it's not unfamiliar to us. The only thing that may be unfamiliar to us is the things that are developing in the world. Along with this, and it's a paid advertisement, came to mind the church's Declaration of Independence from the other divisions of the Restoration in 1857, in which we renounced many of the practices of that day that had crept in just 27 years. And still there were some things that were not included in that as the years have passed and the ministry have studied, have found that there were more, such as high priests and presidents in the church, and other similar practices that had still not been recognized as contrary to the scripture and taken out. But we must be careful in this day that with so much freedom and desire of freedom throughout the world and throughout this country, that it does not creep in again into the Church of Christ. Because the scriptures have been rewritten many times now to make it fit the pattern of life that those who are not real believers and faithful believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ want to pretend that they are Christians because now they have a book that says that they are. And yet we know that they are contrary to the teachings of Christ. Some of these were discussed in the Sunday school class this morning. To a lesser degree, but they were mentioned. And among them were sexual orientations. California is in turmoil over same-sex marriages, because they, after they passed this law that allowed it, the Supreme Court has thrown it out and declared that they are no longer recognized, but they put a little, can't think of the right name, where those that had performed or had this ceremony performed before the court's ruling that they still are recognized in California.
Grandfather clause.
Yeah, the grandfather clause, but you use another phrase sometimes. And so among other things, I want to refresh our minds and make sure that our people understand that the things that are going on in the world and are being accepted by the world are not acceptable, not just in, quote, unquote, the Church of Christ on the Temple Lot, but by Jesus Christ himself in his church. And to whatever degree we vary from that, we get further from that path that he has told us to walk. And so I have been made to think considerably concerning these last days. The news every day is full of it from different parts of the world. In the last several days, we've seen the great upheaval in Iran after the so-called election of the regime that has been there now since about 10, 15 years. Can't remember the exact date of their coming in. And yet there's a great uprising now of the people against that, and it is not just in Tehran, I believe that's the capital, but it's spreading throughout the nation. And yet we find that the one that was shortchanged, counted in the election, that his philosophies are not too much different than what's already there. I learned yesterday, some of you may have, or the day before yesterday, some of you may have been closer in attention to it than I have been, but he still is all for developing their nuclear energy and their nuclear bombs, which is the big thing that the rest of the world is so adamantly opposed to. And these things are all a part of that which we've been prophesied to from the very beginning. Ether was given or records that the brother of Jared was given many commandments of the Lord, which were sealed up to the last day, and that part has still not come forth. And I am confident, because of the rest of the scripture, that we will find when that day comes that it is revealed, that the prophecies concerning the last day are among those things that he was caused to seal up, and even Joseph was not allowed to see them. I'd like to turn first, those of you that care to follow, to Genesis, and the 49th chapter. Genesis 49. and read just the first two verses to begin with. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together, and hear, ye sons of Jacob, and hearken unto Israel your father." And then he goes down, beginning with the oldest son, and blesses them, but at the same time prophesies to them as to what their particular branch of Israel will do and the problems they're going to have. And we drop down to the eighth verse, and he speaks to Judah. And he said, "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemy. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He that stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The sepulcher shall not depart, and the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh shall come, and to him shall be gathered the people, shall be the gathering of the people be." Bending his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. And these things came to pass in Judah's day. Judah was renowned among Israel for their kings, who were above all nations about them, until Solomon came and in his reign, his sons, the kingdom fell apart again, as it had been before David's time, when he united the north and the south. And then I want to drop down to the 22nd verse and read a little concerning Joseph. "Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob, from whence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessing of the deep, and lieth under blessings of the breast and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors, unto the utmost bounds of the everlasting hills. They shall be in the head of Joseph, and on the crown of the head of him that was separated from his brethren." And we know that that this is true. Joseph did develop over, grew over the wall, and he came to this land 600 years before the fall of Jerusalem. And he became a great nation. He was also afflicted with the archers and so forth. The Gentiles fulfilled this prophecy too, to a great extent. So we know that there was a time prophesied by Jacob of the last days, the end of the supremacy of the Gentiles and even of the other houses of Israel throughout the world. We see all about us today, and I couldn't, if I stood here and spoke for a week without ending, enumerate all of the things that are prophesied concerning the day in which we live. I'd like to turn now over for a few of those to 3rd Nephi, page 644, for those of you that are following. Read several verses here, beginning with the 19th verse. And verily I say unto you again, that the other tribes hath the Father separated from them, and it is because of their iniquity that they know not of them. And he's speaking of Judah, and they separated the 10.5 so-called lost tribes. They were never lost to Christ or God, but they were lost to the understanding or the knowledge of men. Going on, and verily I say unto you, that ye are they which I said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. And this is after his appearance here upon this continent after his crucifixion. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And they understood me not. For they supposed it had been the Gentiles for they understood not that the Gentiles should be converted through their preaching. And they understood not that I said, they shall hear my voice, and they understood me not that the Gentiles should not at any time hear my voice, that I should not manifest myself unto them, save it were by the Holy Ghost. But behold, ye have both heard my voice and seen me, and ye are my sheep, and ye are numbered among them which the Lord hath given me. And verily, verily, I say unto you, that I have other sheep, which are not of this land, neither of the land of Jerusalem, neither in any parts of that land round about, whither I have been in minister. In other words, around about Jerusalem, around about Israel. For they of which I speak are they which have not as yet heard my voice, neither have I at any time manifested myself unto them. But I have received a commandment of the Father, that I should go unto them, and that they shall hear my voice, and shall be numbered among my sheep, that there may be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore I go to show myself unto them. And I command you that ye shall write these sayings after that I am gone, that if it so be that my people at Jerusalem, they which have sent me, seen me, and been with me in my ministry, do not ask the Father in my name, that they may receive a knowledge of you by the Holy Ghost, and also of the other tribes which they know not of, that these sayings which ye shall write shall be kept and shall be manifested unto the Gentiles, to the fullness of the Gentiles, the remnant of the earth, the remnant of their seed which shall be scattered upon the face of the earth, because of their unbelief, may be brought in, or may be brought to a knowledge of me, their Redeemer. And the whole rest of the chapter and beyond is full of that prophecy concerning the other tribes and the work that the Lord has for the Gentiles to do. And I'm thrilled and thankful to see that work of the Gentiles progress throughout the scattered nations of Israel. I have very strong question that any of those to whom our missionaries are going today in foreign lands are any except the remnants of the lost tribe of Israel that have been scattered. Some may question this, and they're certainly entitled to their own opinions and beliefs. But the more we study those peoples, the more we find that they have for many, many generations followed the scriptures that they had or knew of, which was primarily the law of Moses. But they also look forward to the coming of the gospel through the Gentile. And they can only get that concept through the scriptures. Certainly, there is no Jew that is preaching such doctrine. There's certainly no Gentile outside the Church of Christ that is preaching such doctrine. And so there's only one way they could get it. And that is, as we discussed slightly, or perhaps a little more than slightly in the class this morning, Sunday school, in the Book of Mormon class, these things were thought to strip my mind for the moment and come back to it. But we find that through the science of medicine and genetics that those peoples through Central Africa that our missionaries are laboring hard at today and have now for the past 4, 5 years, whatever it is, they were already converted and looking for them to come. How did they know that? Who went and told them that? Only through the Holy Ghost, which is what we have just read with witness to them. And we find that genetically they're traceable back to the house of Israel. Many of them through Solomon and Bathsheba. And I recall back as a young boy, that time I was in the ministry, had been ordained a priest in 1938, that when the Italians began to attack Haile Selassie, who was king of, can't think of the name of that country.
Ethiopia.
Yes. King of Ethiopia, came to Jerusalem and to this, to the, high priests those in the synagogues and brought proof that he was indeed a descendant of Bathsheba and Solomon. And since that day, they have been accepted into the house of Israel and have been allowed to migrate into Palestine alongside the other gatherings of the various tribes at the present time, primarily Judah, but there are many others mixed among them. And so we find that these passages of prophecy are indeed truthful, and that they are having their fulfillment. I don't think any of us question, but what all the labors on at least the North American continent among the Native American peoples are with the House of Israel, and particularly the House of Joseph. And so it should not be a great surprise to us to learn these things about these peoples. I am certain that when we get as much information concerning India as we have concerning Africa, that we'll find that they too are of the house of Israel. They too have been waiting for the ministry of the gospel to come forth and bring them the authority and the principles of the gospel, that they might be brought in to the house of the Lord in that final gathering that is spoken of so often throughout the scriptures. And so we continue to watch diligently as I can. Find that in treatment of my leg problem, I have to sit in my big recliner with a big pillow under my left leg, and I fall asleep reading or fall asleep watching the news around the world. But everywhere I look, everywhere I read of the events of this day, I can go to the scripture and I can verify where these things are prophesied of in the scriptures. One thing that we're seeing right now is a partial fulfillment, at least, of the prophecy which I believe it's found in the Book of Mormon. I can't bring to mind at the moment exactly where, but it says that in the last day that there will be confusion among for lack of remembering the exact word in the scripture, the Arab nations, but not just Arab nations, it's the Gentiles, that they'll drown in their own blood. They'll be so fierce and so full of hate. And we're seeing that in the streets of Iran today. It is pathetic that the regime, such as they have there, find it necessary to take an iron pipe and smack a 65-year-old woman straight in the face in order to subdue her. You know, those strong young men, any one of them could probably do it with very little effort. But no, they want to show their hatred and their vengeance against anybody who rises against them. And of course, those who are opposed to them are of the same attitude, and that's a fulfillment of the scriptures concerning that time, this time. And we see them, we went to Iraq, supposedly to, wreak vengeance upon them for 9/11. We find that, that was, incorrect. And yet, when we leave, or as we're leaving, or when we leave, they're killing each other as fast as their dictator was killing those whom we had so boastfully bragged that we had brought an end to. We haven't brought an end to any killing anywhere in the world in generations. That includes my home. We didn't any more than get out of Europe, then they were back fighting again. Russia and the Western European powers really never laid down their weapons. I remember when I volunteered for Mercy Mission on flying French POWs, they were Jews, out of Linz, Austria. I think that's the Rhine River that runs through there. It may be the Danube, but one or the other. Large river, and the only way across it was by bridges. And United States forces were on the western side, and the Russians were on the eastern side. And they had to put up hawsers. That's the anchor chains of battleships. And those chains were this large across the gate, across the bridges, to keep the Russians from coming over and stealing our weaponry that weren't attended at the moment. So there was never a peace between Russia and the rest of the world. And the French no more than got their freedom back than, like always before, whatever nation was putting the most pressure on them, they followed them. And they're doing that today. Yeah, for the moment, they're with the allies, but how long they'll be, nobody knows. And this is another thing that the scripture tells us, that this kind of treachery will be among the nations of the earth. And we review our own experiences in the war, and since the war, before the war, as I just related about Haile Selassie and the Ethiopians. Not that I experienced that one, but I read plenty about it because I was still in school. And all through my life since, in my ministry, these things have always been among the priority thoughts and studies that I have endeavored to do in the name of the Lord and for his people. I want to turn now to a few pages over from where we were, 678. And read a few verses there, beginning with the 38th verse. Behold, I was about to write the names of those who were never to taste of death. Now, this is Nephi, who wrote the third book of Nephi, and he's speaking concerning the three Nephites that were not to experience death, that they would remain upon the earth as Christ had promised to them until his second coming. And they would not taste of death, they would not have pain, but they would have great anguish for the people whom they saw and the conditions that they would witness. So we go ahead. Behold, I was about to write the names of those who were never to taste of death, but the Lord forbid. Therefore, I write them not, for they are hid up from the world. But behold, I have seen them, and they have ministered unto me. And behold, they will be among the Gentiles, and the Gentiles knoweth them not. They will also be among the Jews, and the Jews shall know them not. And it shall come to pass that when the Lord seeth fit in his wisdom, that they shall minister unto all the scattered tribes of Israel and to all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, and shall bring out of them unto Jesus many souls, that their desire may be fulfilled, and also because of the convincing power of God which is in them. And they are as the angels of God. And if they shall pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus, they can shew themselves unto whatsoever man it seemeth good to them. Therefore great and marvelous works shall be wrought by them before the great and coming day, when all must surely stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Yea, even among the Gentiles shall there be a great and marvelous work wrought by them before that judgment day. And if it if ye had all the scriptures which give an account of all the marvelous works of Christ, ye would, according to the words of Christ, know that these things must surely come. And we know, because we believe this book, that these things have happened and that they will happen upon this land. It doesn't say, however, that they're restricted to this land, but they may be. I don't know. That's between them and God. But there are so many things that are transpiring so rapidly that it is virtually, and I would say it is impossible for any one individual or several individuals to keep track of all of the prophecies that are being fulfilled. Various ones will no doubt, because it's promised that we will know. We will. Some know of some things, others know of other things. But the fullness of the gospel will not be inhibited. And Now I want to turn over to one of the references in Articles of Faith and Practice, Matthew 16. Twenty-seven, twenty-nine. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, and this is speaking of the last days, come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, that there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Now, one of the peculiar things here is that we know that John the Revelator was one of those who would linger. But this is plural. We don't know who the others or how many others there were at that time. The other 11 all wanted to go to their reward when they were 60 and 10. And according to scriptures, they did. But it is not just four that are still ministering the gospel, as the three Lamanites were, that they were the only ones on this continent, I wouldn't say, or the only ones, that John was the only one on Palestinian area. But the Lord knows, and he's the only one that's important. It's not important that you and I know. It is important that we recognize that these men, whoever, however many they are not somewhere sitting on their thumbs waiting for the coming of Christ. They are laboring, and they are bringing those to Christ whom the field directed or who are directed for them to go to. And in closing, I'm not going to read the scripture, but it's in several places in which the verbiage changes from the last days to the last day, D-A-Y, singular. And in every instance that I have found, that last day is the day at the end of the 1,000 years when both the righteous and the unrighteous shall stand before the seat of God, put Christ on his right hand. And they will judge each and every individual, not groups, not lumps, but each individual, as to whether they are worthy or unworthy for eternal life. If they are worthy, they will be passed on into that eternal life. If they are unworthy, scripture says they'll be cast in to that lake of fire with Satan and his angels, which will last forever and ever. And in one place it says that the smoke will rise up as a reminder of us, assuming that we are among those who are spared of that great and terrible judgment day. And keep us ever mindful of the great sacrifice which Christ made for us. Individually, me, each one of you, he made it. But we find in some places that, more than one, that those who are found righteous, it says that he lost not one of those whom the Father gave him, but he saved all of them. It was those who were disobedient and rebellious and stayed rebellious to that last day who will be rejected. May God bless you in my prayer.